Praise God. Wonderful. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to Exodus 15th chapter. I want to share something that God spoke to me about yesterday, and he called it a setup. Life is a setup. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you've been set up. It's a good one. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, and we're going to cut into this story about just after Moses and the children of Israel have crossed out of the Red Sea. They've crossed the border of Egypt, and now they're in what's called the wilderness, somewhere around Jordan, South Jordan, somewhere. And the first thing that they come across is a big problem, because Moses has led the children of Israel out into the wilderness, and there's about, the Bible says there's about 2 million of them, so plus women and children, you're probably looking at about at least 5 or 6 million people, and somebody forgot to bring the water. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and tell them it's a setup. So Moses does something. He cries to the Lord. And we're going to look at Exodus chapter 15, verse number 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Well done, Moses. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Hallelujah. Isn't that typically God? You cry out to the Lord. The Lord told me something once. He said, "I want you to learn something. It's a principle in the kingdom of heaven." He said, "It's called asymmetric obedience." Asymmetric obedience. You know, there's symmetrical obedience where you say to God, "Lord, I need this or I need that," and then he provides this or that. But then there's asymmetric obedience where you say, "Lord, I need this," and he says, "Okay, do that," which is something totally random. "Lord, I need a new job." He says, "Great, show up at the soup kitchen." "What, Lord, you didn't hear me right." Okay, this is what's happening here. You see, then he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Has anyone ever seen water come out of a tree? No. Never. But yet these people are looking at Moses. Moses has turned his back to the people. He's now crying out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. It's amazing. May we see the way God sees, in Jesus' name. There's something about trees. There's something about sticks. There's something about wood that God always uses through history to show us different things, right? So, for instance, Moses, when he first meets God, and the Lord shows him a stick, and he says, "Pick up the stick," and it becomes a snake. And then he puts the stick down, and the snake down, and it becomes a stick again. And you see, Moses saw a stick. God saw the deliverance of Israel. I was sitting in, when I was in Nigeria recently, I was sitting in Ibadan in the hotel there where we stayed, and there's a lovely little kind of smallish swimming pool out the back end of this hotel. And I was there looking at the pool. And the Lord said to me, he said, "I saw a pool like that once." And I said, "Wow, tell me, Lord." He said, "What do you see?" I said, "Well, I see a pool." He said, "I see a teaching hospital." I thought, wow. Because God, you see, when Jesus saw the pool of Bethsaida, do you remember when the waters are stirred and the angel comes? How many of us have learned from that scripture about laying hands on the sick, about the ability to pull up crippled people and reach out for miracles and signs and wonders based on the fact that Jesus, when he saw the lame guy at the side of the pool of Bethsaida, he says, "Take up your pallet and walk." And the guy just got up and walked off. Absolutely amazing. So that pool became a teaching hospital. So God sees things differently to the way we see things. He said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:12, he says, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" He says, "Well, I see an almond tree." And the Lord says, "Great." He says, "Because I'm watching over my word to perform it." So Jeremiah saw a tree in the spirit, but God showed him his word. It's amazing. So You see, your neighbor, if you look at your neighbor right now, take a good look at them. You see, it might not just be somebody sitting next to you in church. It may be the key, if you're believing God for to get married, it may be the person that you befriend who becomes the one who introduces you to the person you're going to marry. And all the single people said, amen. Wow, this is an uphill struggle this morning. Okay. Let's take entrepreneurialism, business life. The person that you're sitting next to, you see, you don't make friends because they might be this or that, because you may make the wrong friend. But the friends you met, the friend the Spirit of God tells you, you know what? Just be warm to the person beside you. And you speak to them, and all of a sudden, you strike up a friendship. You realize they're in the same area of business as you are. And then suddenly, they become your business partner or your financier. And then you're just on the next road, the road to the next level. Because that's how God does things. He does things through relationships. And many times, if we don't see things the way God sees things, then that's when we can end up in trouble. Hallelujah. I remember there was one girl, Lord Jesus, why am I saying this? Okay, my wife's not here, she's in America, and chances are she's not even up yet to watch. But there was a girl, when I rededicated my life to the Lord in 93, there was a girl I really fancied her. I thought I was going to marry her. And she was Jamaican, like really, really beautiful girl. And then she was, what are you laughing at? I'm from Tottenham, bruv. We don't see colour. I don't know where you're from, but, you know, my hood, we don't see colour. Anyway, so I struck up a really good relationship with her, and then she told me that, you know, she's seeing some guy that they're going to get engaged and they're going to get married. And I was like, I was so heartbroken. And I was driving home. I remember that night I was driving home. And the Lord said to me, he says, what are you sad for? And I said, well, you know, I thought she might be the one, you know? And he said, this is your problem. He said, sometimes you see spiritual relationships in emotional ways. He says, you have to cut that off. Because the Bible says, you see, the word of God is living, active, sharper than the two-edged sword, and divides between soul and spirit. So there's a difference between having a spiritual relationship and being emotionally involved with a person. That deserves a hand for the Lord Jesus. Someone please tell me if my wife is watching. Hallelujah. She always comments. And anyway, now, here's another thing. You see, the situation here, right, long, long, long before God even, let me say it this way. Before the children of Israel even knew that God could deliver them, these guys are still captured, they're in captivity in their slavery, right? And all of a sudden, I don't know, sometimes animals, they eat, the way God has designed creation to, like an animal will eat a fruit or something, and then he'll walk along a few hours later. They call it transit time, for those of you in the medical profession. And the animal will then poop, and the seed will be unaffected by the journey through the digestive system of the animal, right? So then the seed has been pre-designed by God to feed off the poop that came out of the back end of the animal. So that seed germinates. Once it hits the ground, it falls into the ground and it becomes a tree. Weeks and months go by. It's a sapling, and then it grows up and it grows up. Now, bear in mind this, right? This tree that Moses is about to cut down, maybe 20, 30 years ago, was a seed in an animal. What am I saying? You see, God prepares beforehand stuff that you're going to need before you even know that you're going to need it. Amen. It's a kingdom principle. What we've got to do, we've got to understand our part and recognize what God has given us. It's a common thing among human beings. He said, do you remember Jesus and the woman at the well? He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who stands before you, I wouldn't be asking you for water. You'd be asking me for water, because she didn't know who she was in contact with. She didn't know the next step of her life, etc., right? So now this animal has pooped this seed. The tree is growing. The sapling is growing. And now let's go to the next verse. He threw it into the... Oh, there, verse 25. Thank you. Then he cried to the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree. So he cut down that tree and he threw it into the waters. And the same waters that were bitter now became sweet. Many times, this is the principle. It's a kingdom principle. Many times God prepares way beforehand what you're going to need in your path through life. You see, we don't know. I love that thing that Temi says. He says that the crooked ways of life are but a straight line to God. And that's a kingdom principle. You know, you go through knocks and bumps. You hit awful, bam, sort of terrible situations. But yet God has prepared a tree that he's going to cut down, or tell you to cut down, put it in the waters, and then your life can become sweet again. Hallelujah. I remember prophesying. I was in Ethiopia in February. The wonderful prophet there by the name, what's his name? Tamaran or something like that. Lovely guy in Addis Ababa. And I was with Apostle Maldonado, and he asked me to prophesy over this guy. And the Lord showed me this scripture. And he said that God had raised up this guy in Ethiopia like the tree that God cut down in the wilderness. Because anyone who came in contact with this prophet, even though they're drinking bitter waters every day, that their life would become sweet. Amen. Isn't that a great word? And the guy, he carries such a sweet spirit. May you carry a sweet spirit too, in Jesus' mighty name. There's something about it. God's long beforehand seen the path that you're going to take through life, and he's made provision. People could have walked past that tree. Imagine how many hundreds and thousands of people walked past that tree not knowing that it was the answer to the problem, and yet God had prepared it beforehand. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, it's a setup. We are being set up for great things. In this thing, you know, like, in fact, turn to Ephesians 2:10 while I'm ministering this. In life, sometimes we don't know how set up we are being until the pages unfold. Until life comes, you know, you hit a knock and a bump and you think, oh my gosh, Lord, where are you? It's just, you know, let me give you another example of my wife. I don't know if she's tuned in yet, but just at the risk. I always thought, after I rededicated my life in 93, I always thought that I would be married by the age of 27. So when my 28th birthday passed, I started getting nervous. Anyone ever been there? Yeah, you're all quiet on me this morning. Half of you just, I don't, yes. Right, now this is the thing, right? I sat down before the Lord and I said, right, Lord, okay, what do I know about this situation? Number one, I know that she's alive already. The woman I'm going to marry. Yes, otherwise call the police, you know, statutory rape job. Okay, so I know, yeah, other religion, don't do that in Christianity. Hallelujah. And so I don't want to get myself in trouble. So I knew, I said, right, Lord, number one, she's alive. Okay. Number two, chances are she's not far from my sphere of relationships. Okay. Number three, I either need to meet her or I need a point of contact to meet her. And you know who my point of contact was? Dugbe Hazan. Peter Hazan. We call him Dugbe because he was born in Dugbe in Ibadan. And anyway, so I knew certain things about her. I said, right, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Father, I don't know her yet, but I bless her in the name of Jesus. Give her a great day today. Let her just be blessed. And now, when I saw her in the spirit, I saw the blessing that I'd been praying for. Isn't that interesting? You see, it's like the tree cut down. That tree was growing all along. That tree of blessing that I was praying for was growing all along. And then it came in riding on her shoulders, and I recognized the tree of blessing when I met her. May you pray for your spouse to be in the name. I'm speaking to someone by the prophetic unction today. Hallelujah. Chooks, hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it's a setup. Yes, there's nothing like being set up by God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Just like God oversaw the seed in the back end of that animal that became a tree that turned the waters from bitterness into sweetness, God has prepared us to be a good work. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you are a good work. It's a setup. Yes. You're being set up for great things. Great things. Great things come to God's people. I remember, you know, one of the things that was on my heart today was to minister about tragedy and about, you know, when you hit a knock or you hit a bump in the road and you don't know how you're going to get through a situation. And I remember the situation of my mum and dad. You know, my dad died when I was 16 and it was 1982. My mum really loved my dad. She really, you know, she stuck with him through thick and thin. And she really had a very deep love for him. And, you know, there's some love that comes from God that's just unexplainable. You know, even people that are difficult, even Jezebel had a husband. Okay, that's a revelation for another day. And, you know, when my dad died, my mom just basically, she just closed in on herself, 1982, and she didn't go out of the house. She didn't go anywhere. She went to work and came home, and even when she retired from work then, she even stopped that. And it was very difficult to watch because she was just like kind of fading. All this wonderful love, all this potential, all this, you know, beautiful person had suffered, you know, what could have been a mortal blow. And, you know, I'd prayed for her. I'd said, Lord God, you know, just do something. Help her out of herself again. Let her help. You know, it was like seeing a bird with a wounded wing, just in captivity, you know, and just in a horrible situation. It's like she'd lost the desire to live herself. It's a terrible thing to see if you're a victim of that in your own life and relationships. And so anyway, I just kept praying. Anyway, God took me again through Dugbe Hassan. What is this guy like? I started on a church planting venture in Docklands in East London. We helped that grow to a particular situation, and some Bible school students came. We learnt, you know, we taught them about how to plant church and everything like that. And my mum really wasn't interested in that, and it, you know. And then the Lord put it on my heart that I should plant a church myself, Northwest London. I got the green light from heaven, and so I went off to Burnt Oak, and three of us started Harvest Church London, which is what you're sitting in now. And for some reason, when I told my mum that I was going to, you know, plant a church and everything like that, would she like to come along? It's like God just put an ignition switch on the inside of her. From 3 weeks after coming to church, she joined the homeless ministry at Kensington Temple. And she started, you know, cutting sandwiches. She used to make 500 sandwiches a week. We used to call her, there was some character in a film called Wild at Heart with Nicolas Cage. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but don't bother watching it if you haven't. But there was a character in it called Jingle Dell who thinks it's Christmas every day and who keeps cutting up and making turkey sandwiches. And so my sister's boyfriend, Joe Whelan, some of you know Joe, he called my mum Jingle Dell because there were so many sandwiches everywhere. She used to get the night bus down to Trafalgar Square and she would have this wheeler bag full to the brim of sandwiches. and she'd go down and sit with the homeless. She'd come down 4 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning. This is like a 75-year-old woman coming home on the night bus with all the drunkards and the leery guys, you know. Say, oh, all right, love you. You been out or whatever, you know. She'd say, yeah, I've been out feeding the homeless. And my goodness, what an amazing person. But the point I'm making is, you see, here, right? God had a tree growing on the inside of me called Harvest Church that I didn't know that when that tree went into the waters, it would make her life sweet again. Hallelujah. May you make somebody's life sweet in Jesus' mighty name. There's something on the inside of you that God wants to incubate and turn it into a tree so that when he cuts that thing down and puts it in the water, the lives of people can become sweet. May you find your true destiny in the mighty name of Jesus. God sets these things up. I'll never forget, my goodness, when we went to India, February 2016, and Tim Collins was with me, Junior, and Bruce was heading the mission up there for the Mango International. And so we landed up in Hyderabad, India, and got to the meetings in the particular place. The Lord showed me a guy, I think it was the first night that was there. In fact, you can see it on the video there, the testimony video that we've got on YouTube. And I saw this particular guy, and the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, prophesy. Now, a lot of the time, the way that the Lord deals with me is that I won't know what God's going to say. So he'll say, son of man, prophesy, and I don't know what I'm going to say. But my job is to pick the guy and to, like, bring him out and stand him up and open my mouth. Do you see? It's a risk. Yes, that one's a revelation. It's a risk. Hallelujah. That's how they say it in Kumasi. It's a risk. And so I'm pulling this guy up. And the Holy Spirit told me, he said, speak. He said, speak a whirlwind into his life. He said, like, really go for it. Now, there's times when I know I should just go for it. And God just releases me just to let loose, man. I mean, when God does it, you know. So I prophesied to him. I said, if I am a man of God, your life situation will turn around in the next 24 hours in Jesus' name. I mean, the guy broke. It's there on the video. You can watch it yourself. He just broke like somebody had cracked an egg. And I didn't know what was going on still at this particular situation. But I knew the word was done. Now, here's the God bit. Here's the tree bit, right? 3 weeks before we go to India, Tim Collins is praying. And he's asking God, you know, what shall I do? What's my portion in this venture? Everything like that. The Lord said to him, he said, bring £200 cash and I'll show you a person that you should give it to, right? So it's in Tim's back pocket there. As I'm prophesying to this guy, the Lord says to Tim, that's the guy. Afterwards, go and give him the money, £200 cash, right? Now, it turns out that this guy was 20,000 rupees in debt. 20,000 rupees is £200. He was 200. Now, you think how minuscule £200 is. But if you're in £200 debt and you're in a dollar a day economy, you are stuffed. You may as well be owing £200 million in the UK. There's just no way you're getting it that fast. And what happened was he was in a farming situation and he just basically run into trouble. I think one of his cows died or so, or the only cow he had died or something like that. And now he's in debt. He's got no cow. And Tim gave him the money. And literally at that moment, his life changed around. Hallelujah to Jesus. Yeah, I think you should clap for the Lord for that. This one, isn't our God good? Hey, this kind God, oh. Stay quiet. You'll take my time away. Another one. My daughter, Abby, you know she had this accident. She had a bike accident, a terrible, terrible accident. I've got the pictures somewhere. I don't even know if you can show them on there. It's a bit rough, some of them. And in 1993, talking of God's generals, I was reading a book by Maria Woodworth Etter called A Diary of Signs and Wonders. It's one of those books, if you never read it, dude, you should read it. There's something very special about that book. And she talked about, she was in St. Louis, Missouri, or one of those places, and she was priming a kerosene lamp that she was going to use in the tent crusade where they have these big meetings. And she said she primed the lamp like that, and she lit the thing, and it exploded in her face. Now, you know a kerosene lamp, they're very, very powerful things. They come out, the kerosene comes out quite forceful. And it exploded and literally blew up in her face. So her face not only was covered in broken glass, but it was covered in this kerosene stuff, and the kerosene was on fire. It was a terrible situation. She said this. She said, "So I invoked the covenant of healing that I have with my God." And she said, God put the fire out. She said, not only that, she said, I preached that night with a perfect face. Isn't that amazing? Right. Now, I'm reading this in 1993, July. I'm reading it in my study time. I'm reading this book called A Diary of Signs and Wonders, and I read that thing. Now, that was a seed. I didn't know it was a seed on the inside of me, right? Okay. Flip forward now to 2017, June, I think the 23rd. My daughter Abby's riding her bike. She's going downhill. She's like flying as fast as she can. And then whoop, she comes off at like 30 miles an hour. Her face is basically the brakes of the accident. Like the whole bike and is on top of her. And she's skidding down this gravel path on her face. It was a mess. I don't know if you guys have it, but whenever you do, you can just show them, flip through them. Right. Now, that was on a Saturday evening. Sunday morning, I'm getting ready because I have to bring her to Luton and Dunstable Hospital to the maxillofacial place to get the thing cleaned out even more and dealt with by the medics. And I'm standing in front of the mirror, and I remembered that seed that has now become a tree on the inside of me called the covenant of healing. And I invoked, I did exactly what Maria Woodworth Etter did. I stood in front of that mirror and I invoked the covenant of healing. I said, Father, I don't know how you're going to heal her. And frankly, I don't care. That's not my part, that's your part. And I left it with God. And now, if you saw the pics, and I should have briefed the guys, I didn't know I would get this far in the message, but literally 5 days after, she was fully well. Like fully well. She'd had, now listen to the list of injuries. She'd had what was called a guardsman fracture. They call it a guardsman fracture because when, you know, the guards at Buckingham Palace, when they faint, they fall on their chins, and often it will break, it will cause a fracture right there. And she had a fractured right mandible, and she had a fractured left wrist. So that was three fractures. When she went the following week, so this is day five now. Day 12, she's due for an appointment with the wrist guy. The wrist guy, even though they'd plastered up her wrist and everything like that, the wrist guy can't find the fracture. He said, I think there's some sort of mistake because there's no fracture on your current x-rays now. He's looking at the current x-rays because they couldn't find the previous ones, right? The next thing, about 2 minutes later, the previous x-rays show up on his computer. And he looks at my wife and he says, this is the kind of situation that causes us to rewrite the books on fracture repair. Isn't that awesome? My God. My God, and you should have seen her, just the mess that she was, just the absolute mess. And God put to work something, that tree that had been growing on the inside of me, when it was cut down and put into the waters, brought up healing. Now, here's the question I want to leave you with. What sort of tree are you going to be in someone's life? If you're not influencing somebody's life for the better, then really, what on earth are we doing here? We are the one in the one John 3:16. Everybody knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, etc., right? But we are the one in 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 says this. He says, by this we know love,
that God laid his life down for us, and therefore we should lay our lives down for the brethren. May God give you a vehicle to come out of yourself and into what he's called you to do and to be. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's stand up. Let's thank God for his word. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord God, I thank you that you've prepared great works for us beforehand. You've prepared us to be great in other people's lives. That we shouldn't live for ourselves, Father, but that we should live for the one who died and gave his life for us on that cross of Calvary. So, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that you'd encourage each one here, Lord, to be that tree that the Lord himself can look upon when he needs a tree to cut down and to put into bitter waters, that, Lord God, he can find us, be it the elderly, be it the homeless, be it the friendless. Father, your word says he puts the lonely in families. Lord God, I thank you for the cell structure in Harvest. I thank you for the outreach of people in Harvest. Lord, I thank you so much for what you've called us to do and to be in this great city. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that this is our city. That, Lord God, we can make it an oasis of love. No matter what's going on outside these four walls, where the love of many have grown cold, where there's all kinds of hatred and insecurity and loneliness, Heavenly Father, that you have called us to be that family that can be called by your name. Lord God, we thank you for that privilege. Make us that tree, Heavenly Father, that you can cut down in that right time and use as a healing to the nations. Use as a purification system in the lives of people. We give you all the glory and the honor and the praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen.